Jay, we're on the fly at Aviation Gateway Park today, specifically the Innovation Center, the brand new for 2015 Innovation Center. If you haven't reached out on your Air Venture visit this year, then you definitely need to come by this park across from the convention headquarters and see all the new exciting things they have going on over here. They have the Innovation Center. They've got the education and an airline area where the universities and the airlines are set up to talk to folks, and then also the cool drone cage, which is right here next to us today. And we're going to be on the fly in the drone cage tomorrow. I'm really excited about that. Right now, though, we're going to talk to Eric Schneibel. And Eric, you're the F-35 Communications Manager with Lockheed Martin. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. Thanks for the invitation this afternoon.
Thanks for joining us. Tell us what's going on over there at Lockheed Martin with this very cool jet.
Well, we've got a couple of exciting things here at EAA, and I'm personally thrilled. This is my first time at AirVenture, and so to be here with the world's two fifth-generation fighters, both Lockheed Martin products, the F-22 Raptor and the F-35 Lightning II, is just a tremendous opportunity.
I'm sure it's generating a lot of interest.
There is. I mean, the crowd interaction, just by wearing a shirt, we've been approached by, you know, various people, and I love engaging with them, hearing what they know about the program, and also, you know, sharing information about what it's all about, what a game-changing aircraft it is.
Let's talk about that. Talk about why is it a game-changing aircraft?
Well, so fifth-generation technology refers really to the evolution of jet aircraft. If you go back to the first generation, it was really in the sort of the Korean War era with the F-86 Sabres, and then it advanced F-4s to the second generation.
And, yep.
The F-100s, you know, the Century Series fighters, third generation being the F-4 era, A-4s and so forth. The fourth generation is what most of the military services are operating today. That's your Marine and Navy FA-18s, the U.S. Air Force F-16s, the Air Force F-15. And so fifth generation is really the next evolution of technology. And it really began with the F-22, which has been in service with the Air Force for a number of years. And the F-35 is really its follow-on companion. Whereas the F-22 is what we call an air supremacy fighter, it's really designed to own and control the airspace above a battle environment. And the F-35 is what we call a multi-role fighter, where it using its stealth capabilities and its data fusion, able to do air-to-air and air-to-ground, but also really kind of be a network sensor. So it's really different from everything we've seen before. And the idea is the pilot becomes more of a tactician as opposed to a technician. Not, you know, you don't have a helmet fire trying to manage all those systems. It's essentially two iPads that you touch screen and manage all your information. And we need to invite everyone to come on out to the Innovation Center and actually fly the F-35 cockpit demo, which we have set up here.
And what does it do, the cockpit demo?
It's not a motion-based sensor, but it's very realistic in an unclassified way. Obviously, the pilots that are training at Eglin Air Force Base, where the two F-35As that are here from, the 33rd Fighter Wing, that's the Air Force's training schoolhouse. And so all of the F-35 pilots from all of the services, the U.S. Air Force, the Navy, and the Marine Corps, as well as international pilots, gone through there to get their initial training. And now training is going out to Luke Air Force Base in Phoenix, Arizona, for the international pilots that are part of the program. But the simulator training, when you think about it, all three variants are single-seat aircraft. So the first time a pilot steps to that plane, it's, you know, after about 60 hours of sim time. And so the simulator that we have, the cockpit demo, is very realistic, and the feedback is that it was just like flying the cockpit, you know, demo.
Wow, that's cool. How do people do that? You just show up at your booth?
You just show up. There's a queue because we want to give everyone the full experience of actually taking off, engaging a target, and then choosing to land, whether it's on a carrier deck or back at Nellis Air Force Base in North Las Vegas, or on a helicopter landing craft for the STOVL, or the short takeoff and vertical landing variant.
Wow.
So get to earn their Top Gun credentials.
That's pretty cool. What else have you guys, Lockheed Martin, you know, that is a diverse company. You don't only manufacture aircraft, But you also do a lot of stuff with air traffic control.
That's right.
and weather-related stuff.
Pilot
briefings are now Lockheed Martin, right?
Yeah, there's part of a different... So we're divided into multiple business areas. I'm out of Fort Worth, Texas, with Lockheed Aeronautics. So Aeronautics is basically our aircraft manufacturer. They're in Fort Worth. We build the F-35 and also the F-16, which started on the line about 41 years ago. And we also support Japan's F-2, which is an F-16-like fighter, one of their frontline fighters. But out at Marietta, Georgia, is where the C-130J, which is over 60 years in production, and the C-5M, which is the Air Force's Galaxy, the largest outside cargo carrying aircraft, and then P-3 work in other parts of the country. But other business areas include space, which is out of Denver and Sunnyvale, California, and our information government systems, which handles a lot of the ATC type of programming and equipment.
Right. Uh-huh. So specifically here, it's really airplane based, because we're at Oshkosh, and you're showing you're showing off some beautiful airplanes and playing out here.
What's amazing, I mean, this is obviously Mecca for, experimental and home-built and just civil aviation. You get a 360 look at everything out here on the fields, and what perfect weather to enjoy it. So to have the two frontline fighters in the world, here on the ramp is kind of cool. It's a little bit humbling, but, just be surrounded by... If you were to tally all the hours for every pilot that flew an aircraft in here, I mean, it would... probably go back to the start of time. It's just incredible experience.
Absolutely. And of course, the F-35 is not the end game for Lockheed Martin. What's coming down the pike? I'm sure you're working on some new stuff.
Well, this actually, when you think about it, we've delivered about 140 aircraft thus far, and those aircraft fleet-wide have flown over 36,000 hours. So the program's maturing. Concurrently, we're finishing out the flight test program. We've had another year out at Edwards Air Force Base in the California High Desert and on the East Coast at Naval Air Station Patuxent River for the naval variants. So we're building while we're continuing flight test, and very soon, in fact, could come as soon as this week, the United States Marine Corps is anticipated to declare what they call IOC, Initial Operational Capability, basically certifying that their F-35Bs are ready to go into combat if so tasked by a national command authority. So the fifth generation F-35 is really going to be about a 40-year program. By the time all of the eight international partners and the thus far three foreign military sale partners have all their aircraft delivered out. And the real benefit there is the interoperability, everyone flying very common aircraft and the ability to share data and operate in tough environments.
So inside, they're going to be very similar. All the variants will be.
Well, they are. Yeah, they're all single place aircraft. So there are three variants. So the 33rd Fighter Wing at Eglin brought in two F-35As. The F-35A is what the United States Air Force is going to operate, and their contract program of record is for 1,763. And so,
really?
Yeah,
well, that's
so
a lot of jets.
They'll be the largest, operator of the aircraft. The Naval and Marine Forces are about half that number each, but each variant has a lot of commonality. But the A is what we call the CTOL, the conventional takeoff and landing, and it has a 25 millimeter gun embedded in the left wing of the aircraft or the fuselage. The B is the STOVL, the short takeoff and vertical landing, that the Marines will operate as well as the Royal Navy.
It's a Harrier replacement, basically.
It is, exactly. Yeah. Well, and for the Marines, it actually replaces the Harrier and the Hornet, because both of those airframes for the Corps are getting long in the tooth, mm-hmm. and they have the greatest need. So that's why they will be the first to declare IOC and be able to introduce it. And, so as we're fielding aircraft and being flown out, we're training pilots. They're developing their tactics, techniques, and procedures to, smartly engage the jet in conflict. And it's already been out at Nellis Air Force Base, participating in a Green Flag exercise, which is a close air support.
Hmm.
And so it's kind of a building block approach, right? You, you fly, you learn, and we're very attuned to the feedback from the operators, the maintainers, the supporters, to find what's a smarter way to do it and incorporate it in later blocks of the aircraft, or concurrently included in the next iteration of software or what have you, so they have the most capable platform to operate.
So the A and the B, and then there's a C
model
as well?
Yeah, the C is the carrier variant.
Okay.
And I was had the great fortune last October to go out off the coast of San Diego on the USS Nimitz. We escorted some news media out there to watch the very first carrier landings. And, boy, the jet was out there for about 2 weeks, and it hit the three-wire, you know, every time. And no bolters, if you're familiar with naval aviation, meaning they, you know, they didn't miss the wire at all, you know. And so pretty incredible. And the one common thing, if you talk to any of the pilots, and I really encourage your listeners to get out there on the ramp and go talk to these guys, because, you know, they know better than anybody what it's like to fly. And a lot of them came from the legacy aircraft. Nash, who's one of the major that's out there, is came from the F-16 community. And the Colonel Nemo, is a operations group commander. So he's a colonel who has experience in the F-15 Eagle and the F-22 as one of the original pilots in the program. And now with the F-35, and across the board, they'll tell you it's so easy to fly. It takes the pilot, it's so much easier to employ in combat.
It's top level computer stuff, basically.
Yeah,
it's all,
I mean,
stabilized.
It's a lot of redundancy, and a lot is like over 8 million lines of code, you know, that control the flight control surfaces.
Wow.
And you know, some of the attributes, a lot of people know it just for its stealth, and stealth is critically important because the airplane, you know, it's not Wonder Woman's aircraft. It's not completely invisible, but to its radar cross section is such that by the time, you know, someone might detect it on the most capable radars, it's already gone, and, you know, and you can't track it. So that gives a pilot survivability to ingress a defended airspace, strike a target,
and get
return
back out
safely.
Yeah.
And then basically they call it the kind of the kick down the door for us, right? If you're going into country X that's a threat, and you negate all of the surface air missile sites and the whole network there, then on day two or three of the war, everyone can get in unimpeded, you know.
Great.
And that's the value of the aircraft.
Eric, thanks so much for joining us
today.
I
really appreciate it.
We're out of time, but it's been very cool hearing about the F-35 and what Lockheed Martin has going on now.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. J-Mod G on the fly, and we are done here at Aviation Gateway Park for today, but tomorrow, Friday, we'll be here in the drone cage for our show, so don't miss that. 1 o'clock tomorrow. J-Mod G on the fly. You're listening to EAA Radio.